Let's turn in the scriptures now to Isaiah chapter 36. Isaiah chapter 36 verses 1 through 22 and also chapter 37, 1 through 38. So Isaiah chapters 36 and 37. Beloved, hear now the word of the Lord. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and seized them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem to King Hezekiah with a large army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool on the highway of the fuller's field. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder, came out to him. Then Rabshakeh said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what is this confidence that you have? I say, your counsel and strength for the war are only empty words. Now on whom do you rely, that you have rebelled against me? Behold, you rely on the staff of this crushed reed, even on Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who rely on him. But if you say to me, 'We trust in the Lord our God,' is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and has said to Judah and to Jerusalem, 'You shall worship before this altar'? Now therefore, come make a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses, if you are able on your part to set riders on them. How then can you repulse one official of the least of my master's servants and rely on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Have I now come up without the Lord's approval against this land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, 'Go up against this land and destroy it.'" Then Eliakim and Shebna and Joah said to Rabshakeh, Speak now to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it and do not speak with us in Judean in the hearing of the people who are on the wall." But Rabshakeh said, "Has my master sent me only to your master and to you to speak these words and not to the men who sit on the wall, doomed to eat their own dung and drink their own urine with you?" Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in Judean and said, "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, 'Do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, "The Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria." Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus the king of Assyria says, 'Make your peace with me and come out to me, and eat of his vine and each of his fig tree, and drink each of the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own field, like a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware that Hezekiah does not mislead you, saying, "The Lord will deliver us." Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Shepharvaim? And when have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their land from my hand, that the Lord would deliver Jerusalem from my hand?" But they were silent and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was, "Do not answer him." Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of Rabshakeh. When King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and entered the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, with Shebna the scribe and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. He said to him, "Thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of distress, rebuke and rejection, for children have come to birth and there is no strength to deliver. Perhaps the Lord your God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God, and will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, offer a prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Isaiah said to them, "Thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him so that he will hear a rumor and return to his own land. And I will make him fall by the sword in his own land." Then Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria fighting against Libna, for he had heard that the king had left Lachish. When he heard them say concerning Tirhaka, king of Cush, "He has come out to fight against you." And when he had heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah saying, "Thus you shall say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all the lands, destroying them completely. So will you be spared? Do the gods of those nations which my fathers have destroyed deliver them, even Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the sons of Eden who were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Shepharvaim, and of Hena and Iva?" And Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. He went up to the house of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, "O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And listen to all the words of Sennacherib, who sent them to reproach the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have devastated all the countries and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. So they have destroyed them. Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God." Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent word to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. She has despised you and mocked you, the virgin daughter of Zion. She's shaken her head behind you, the daughter of Jerusalem. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed? And against whom have you raised your voice and haughtily lifted up your eyes? Against the Holy One of Israel. Through your servants you have reproached the Lord, and you have said, 'With many chariots I came up to the heights of the mountains, to the remotest parts of Lebanon, and I cut down its tall cedars and its choice cypresses, and I will go to its highest peak, its thickest forest. I dug wells and drank waters, and with the sole of my feet I dried up all the rivers of Egypt. Have you not heard? Long ago I did it, from ancient times I planned it. Now I have brought it to pass, that you should turn fortified cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were short of strength. They were dismayed and put to shame. They were as the vegetation of the field, and as the green herb, as green as grass on the housetops, is scorched before it is grown up. But I know you're sitting down and you're going out and you're coming in and you're raging against me. Because of your raging against me and because of your arrogance has come up to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came. And this shall be the sign for you. You will eat this year what grows of itself, and the second year what springs from the same, and the third year sow, reap, plant vineyards, and eat their fruit. The surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem will go forth a remnant, and out of Zion, Mount Zion, survivors. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he will not come to this city or shoot an arrow there, and he will not come before it with a shield or throw up a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, by the same will he return, and he will not come to this city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, all of these were dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and returned home and lived in Nineveh. It came about as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, Adramelech, and Sherezar, his sons, killed him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Arat. And Esarhaddon, his son, became king in his place. And thus far in the word of the Lord. So back in chapter 36, we see in the context the Assyrian forces are at the walls of Jerusalem. It is 701 B.C. What we find is almost word for word what is found in 2 Kings 18 and 19. Hezekiah is king of Judah, and he is a righteous king who returned Judah to worshiping the Lord. For he tore down, it says even in this chapter, the high places and the altars that were outside of the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. With that as the context, chapter 36, including the knowledge that Israel already, the northern kingdom, is in exile, and Sennacherib was king of Assyria, this was intimidating for the people of Jerusalem, of Judah, as they came to the wall, this army, with Rabshakeh. More so than most attacks from other armies would have been, because the Assyrians under Sennacherib were known especially for their brutality and ruthlessness, often suggested at the time to be the most ruthless army compared to any other army before it. How did Hezekiah prepare to defend Jerusalem? You remember, at least in the past, he has sought out possible help from Egypt, contrary to the Lord's commandment and desire. And he has made tunnels of Siloam, which ensured that the city would have water if they were cut off from the outside. The history books of Assyria record this attack, and that Sennacherib captured 46 major cities of Judah before they came to Jerusalem. The reason given in Assyrian history books for this attack is that Hezekiah, king of Judah, refused to pay taxes to Sennacherib. In 2 Kings 18, surprised by this attack, Hezekiah, we see, offers to pay the dues of those taxes, surrendering all the silver in the temple, the royal treasury, even some gold from the temple. But his offer does not work. And so far, allying himself with Egypt, offering to pay the dues, or the back taxes, we might say, they have not worked. Sennacherib calls Judah a splintered reed. So there's a contrast here. We see chapter 36, verse 4, this is what the great king of Assyria says. That's contrasted with chapter 37, verse 6, this is what the Lord says. This is what Yahweh says. The contrast in the speech is here to point to Sennacherib, that he is a very arrogant and prideful man, as we would assume of someone who has destroyed many nations and many so-called gods. The speech was heard by all. You see, at the beginning, they tried to get him to speak only in Aramaic so he wouldn't frighten the people of Jerusalem, because they could understand Judean. But they refused, because that was The Assyrians refused because that's their purpose. They wanted to stir up rebellion amongst the people of God, of Jerusalem. And yet still, God's people refused here at the wall to yield to the enemy's temptations to rebel against their king. Even when it was, chapter 36, verse 20, how can the Lord deliver Jerusalem from my hand after he's destroyed all these other nations, all these other gods who tried to destroy me? But Hezekiah had already encouraged the people to trust in the Lord for their deliverance, verse 15. And that's always the question when we come up against overwhelming odds. Will we trust in the Lord and not the things of this world? Chapter 37, we see the deliverance of Jerusalem. The response of a righteous king in response to this arrogance and blasphemy from Sennacherib and his servant, Rabshakeh. Hezekiah humbles himself. He tears his robe. He puts on sackcloth. He repents of his sin, in other words. And he goes to the house of the Lord, the temple, to pray. Even though he was a king, he saw himself, he realizes of himself that he is powerless. Hezekiah found that his earthly resources were no match for Sennacherib. But the Lord is great, verse 7, and will cause the Assyrians to leave Jerusalem, and the fall he will cause of Sennacherib. And chapter 37 ends with the fall of Sennacherib, the Lord bringing it about through his own sons. Verse 36 shows that the Lord had Sennacherib and the Assyrians simply carrying out the eternal purposes of God. That's why they were there. That's why they were destroying all those cities. They were used, chapter 10, to chastise the people of God because of their sin, to bring them back to the Lord, that there'd be a remnant, people who love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Verse 36, we see also the Lord himself, as the angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 Assyrians. And he did that destruction without an army of men. He did it without even the people in the camp, the rest of the Assyrians who didn't die. He did it without them even realizing it until the next morning when they woke up. 185,000 people. Sennacherib retreated back to Assyria. While he was worshiping his pagan god, his sons killed him. And here we find that it is prayer that was the way of deliverance for Judah. That is prayer that is depending upon the Lord. Not going to Egypt, not trying to pay the back taxes that he wasn't really due anyway, because he was to serve the Lord and not a foreign king. It was prayer, the prayer of dependence upon the Lord, that was the way of deliverance for Judah. A godly leader who prayed, a godly leader who repented, a godly leader who was provided by the Lord for the people, who led the people to do the same. As you see also, those under him were doing the same thing, repenting and praying. And so may it be that our first response to circumstances of great dire need or great trial would be to depend upon the strength of the Lord, the will of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord as we go to Him in prayer. Let us pray now. Our Father, we are a people who love to trust in the things of this world, much like your righteous king that you brought about in Hezekiah. And Father, we are people who love to trust ourselves, trust people more and above than we trust you. But you are the God of all creation, the God who spoke the creation into existence by a word out of nothing, in which we can barely create things or make things with much energy in our bodies for many days. Even for some, to prepare a simple meal is exhausting. Father, we ask that you would remind us once again that you are the creator of all the heavens and the earth, the sustainer of all the heavens and the earth, all people, all things within it. If you've not just created the heavens and the earth, but all the things that are inside and are in the earth and the heavens. You're the God who is holy, who is love, a God of all power, for you are God Almighty, a God of all strength. You are omnipotent, and you know all, for you're omniscient. And you see even into the thoughts and intentions of one's heart. Father, may you be praised in all these things. Father, you have, as the God of truth, given us your word and shown countless times over and over how your people often don't trust you. And yet, in the end, you come in all your power and majesty and glory, and you save your people every single time. Not only physically, but spiritually, in your Son Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. For any who would believe in him, they would have everlasting life for what you have done in the gospel. And so loving are you, so strong are you, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And how great you are, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Our Father, we ask that we would depend upon you in all things. And where we have failed in this, we ask that you would turn our hearts back to you. Where we are depending upon ourselves or the things of this world, we ask that you would turn our hearts back to you. Even in prayer. And prepare our hearts even now for what lies ahead. In good times and horrible times. Father, cause us to depend upon you. That we would not turn to the right or to the left, trusting in nations or people, or even paying people off, but that we would trust in the Lord alone. Lord, here we see one government against another government in the world. Remind us to pray as you've commanded, to pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, those in authority over us. So Lord, we ask that you would save their souls and turn them unto you. Cause them to rule according to your word, to love you above all else, above their constituents. Love you more than money and property and fame. Rather, cause them to fear you, stand in awe of you, that they would glorify you in all they do. We ask these things in Jesus, the precious name, the powerful name of the angel of the Lord, our Lord, even Jesus Christ. Amen.